from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm Lily Jamali. We're going to start this morning at the U.S.-Mexico border. The Trump administration says the U.S. Department of the Interior will transfer several hundred acres of federal land along the southern border to the Army. It's part of a grand plan to build or replace about 70 miles of border fence. Max Rivlin-Nadler of KPBS reports that some of that land is in California.
The agreement between the Interior Department and the Army says that 44 acres in San Diego County will be set aside for border construction. This area lies directly south of Otay Mountain in protected wilderness, close to where President Trump visited a reconstructed border fence on Wednesday. Under the agreement, the Army has 3 years to build in the area. If completed, it would mark the first new section of fence in San Diego County under the Trump administration. Catherine Phillips, director of the Sierra Club's California chapter, says new construction would be detrimental to the animals whose habitat knows no border. The Sierra Club and other groups are currently suing the president over an emergency declaration he made in February, speeding up work on the border and reappropriating government funds to do it. For the California Report, I'm Max Rivlin-Nadler in San Diego.
President Trump's visit to our state this week escalated tension with California officials on a whole host of issues, perhaps most notably air quality. Now, State Attorney General Javier Becerra is mulling his options after the Trump administration made it official yesterday that it's revoking our state's authority to set our own vehicle emissions standards. The federal government granted the waiver to California in the 1970s under the Clean Air Act so the state could fight air pollution. What comes next? Attorney General Becerra joins me by phone. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. It's great to have you here. Thank you. Why don't we begin with what California's legal options are now?
Lily, recognize that California is not going to stop doing what it's been doing. We're going to continue to move forward with clean car standards. We're going to continue our push towards clean energy. Nothing changes for us simply because today the Trump administration made an announcement which would break the law. So we'll continue forward, and then we're prepared to do whatever it takes to make sure that what they've announced today never takes effect.
So just so that I'm clear, you're saying that the state of California is not going to abide by what the Trump administration is ordering here?
It's an illegal action. It's an illegal rule, and we're not required to abide by illegal actions. And so California is going to move forward with its clean car standards.
Are you going to sue?
We're prepared to do whatever it takes, including going to court.
Let me push back on what the state is saying here. There are people in California who might ask, you know, why should one state be able to wield this much control over an issue as important as this one? What answer do you have to that?
Actually, it's a little flattering, Lily, to hear anyone say that because it's not true, but it sure makes California feel like we're a pretty important player when they say that. California had to apply to be able to get this exemption to have its own authority when it comes to clean car standards. Any state that wishes to can choose to follow California standards, but no one is obliged to. So anytime someone makes the false claim that we're forcing others in the country to follow California, it's absolutely false. But as I said, it is flattering.
All right. Attorney General Javier Becerra, thank you for making the time.
Lily, thank you.
We're going to head to the Central Valley now, where immigration dominated yesterday's city council meeting in Fresno. The council voted to support recipients of the Obama-era policy DACA that gives undocumented people brought to the U.S. as kids work permits and protects them from deportation. KVPR's Monica Velez has more.
Fresno will join more than 40 other cities in the country on a legal brief that supports three DACA cases going before the Supreme Court in November. 2 years ago, President Trump issued an order to wind down the program, but the Supreme Court will decide if that's lawful. Gary Bredefeld was the only council member to vote against the resolution. He says the Obama-era program isn't legal because it was created by an executive order instead of Congress.
We either follow the laws or we don't. And the fact is, people are here illegally. And we have to acknowledge that.
Councilmember Mike Harbasi abstained from voting, saying this is a national issue. But Councilmember Miguel Arias says the more than 5,000 people on DACA in Fresno would lose jobs and wages if the program ends.
It will be a direct and financial impact for our city. So there is a correlation to local.
During public comment, DACA recipients spoke in favor of the resolution, emphasizing how much anxiety and fear they have felt since the program's existence came into question. For the California Report, I'm Monica Velez in Fresno.
We're going to head over the state line now to Nevada. Area 51 is the mysterious military base in the desert there, and it's fascinated people for decades. But today, that fascination may come to a head. Thousands of people have said they will descend on the site to be part of a viral event called Storm Area 51. Paul Boger with KUNR in Reno reports from Rachel, Nevada.
It started as a joke. Created by Maddie Roberts, a bored college student from Bakersfield, the Storm Area 51 event was supposed to rush the gates outside the base and see if aliens were inside. It didn't take long for the U.S. Air Force to put the kibosh on that, and the supposed raid morphed into a kind of weekend festival in the desert. Here's the thing. No one knows how many people might show up to an alien and UFO-themed festival.
It's unidentified aerial phenomenon, which is the new nomenclature for UFO.
Okay, so Jim Galeri of Sparks, Nevada set me straight. He runs a website that tracks UFO sightings.
There was already people here from Australia. There was people from Poland. There was people from Canada, Alaska. I mean, they're just people from all over the world. They're looking to find out some stuff.
Looking around, cars are pulling into the hamlet from across the country. License plates from California, Idaho, Florida, New York. They keep rolling in.
It's been insane.
That's Connie West, owner of the Little Alien, a restaurant, bar, and motel. It's really the only business in Rachel, Nevada. It's a town with a population between 50 and 60 people.
You know, I had to reach out to other states to get, you know, like the port-a-johns and medical's covered, security's here. Everything that everybody said was not going to happen, and I said was going to happen, is happening.
For as many as 10,000 visitors, or a few hundred, who knows? One thing's for sure, that bored college kid from Bakersfield won't be attending. Citing concerns over safety and logistics, he's moved his party to Vegas. But law enforcement isn't taking any chances. A few miles south of Rachel, along an unmarked dirt road, are the gates to Area 51. Sheriff's deputies keep guard outside, a chain-link fence and razor wire flanking them. And yet, the people I spoke to say they're just looking forward to a chill time in the desert. Something more like Burning Man than a raid. For the California Report, I'm Paul Boger in Rachel, Nevada.
Support for the California Report comes from Strauss Family Creamery, producing 100% organic milk in reusable glass bottles for more than 25 years, keeping 500,000 pounds of milk containers out of landfills every year. StraussFamilyCreamery.com. Energy Upgrade California, reminding Californians to use less energy every day. Keep it golden at EnergyUpgradeCalifornia.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.
And finally, one of the biggest regional theaters in our state, Berkeley Repertory Theater, premiered its first show under new artistic director Joanna Felser last night. The Berkeley native has just moved back after spending years in New York, where she helped bring Hamilton, an American Idiot, to the stage. Felser's predecessor stepped down after decades at Berkeley Rep. Her first show of the season is called The Great Wave. I spoke with her at the premiere last night. Joanna Felser, thank you for joining me.
My pleasure. Thanks for being here.
So give us the rundown on what this show is actually about.
It's a really beautiful, sweeping story of a family in a coastal town in Japan in 1979, a mother and her two teenage daughters. And the girls get into a spat, like teenagers sometimes do, and one of them storms off to the beach in the middle of a really violent storm and is lost. And then it becomes the task of the mother and the sister to try and determine what's happened to her. I don't want to give away too much, but I will say that the story of a family and a mother and yearning and loss takes place in the middle of a kind of fantastic geopolitical thriller.
Oh my goodness. What can you tell emerging artists about what they need to know to continue to be able to make art in the very expensive Bay Area?
Oh, it's such a complicated question, because in some ways it would be irresponsible to say, oh, just do it. Because I think the reality is the economics of the city are really complicated. On the other hand, I think they should know that there are a number of people running these companies, not just theaters, but museums and the film festivals and the art galleries, who are trying to figure out, together and separately, how to make sure this place stays feasible for artists. If we lose our artists, we lose our culture. We lose, in many ways, our reason for being, and we don't want the center of our community to erode. So I think people are having very genuine, very complicated conversations about how to make this sustainable for people at all different phases of their careers.
Last thing, how is it being back in Berkeley after all these years?
It's amazing. You know, on the one hand, Berkeley changes every day because it's always been a community of seekers and of people who are on a quest for something new and different and better. And on the other hand, it's deeply familiar. So I get to have my dad and my sister at this first opening night with me, and there's nothing like that.
Joanna Felser, thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm so thrilled to be here with you tonight.
And that is the California Report for this Friday, September 20th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineers are Danny Bringer and Katie McMurrin, with help from Seal Muller and Jim Bennett. The rest of the staff includes Saul Gonzalez, Kathleen Quillian, Raquel Maria Dillon, and Polly Stryker. I'm Lily Jamali. Have a great weekend.